welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message, the importance of obedience. And we are concentrating on chapter 13 of 1 Kings. And what we see as that chapter opens, there's a man of God who came out of Judah to Bethel. And Bethel was the place where there was a golden calf. Jeroboam at that point was king over Israel. And even though he had been given a legitimate, valid prophetic word by Ahijah the prophet, God said, if you'll obey me, I will establish a sure house after you. But like David, so he had this incredible promise, but he was obviously eager for power and glory, and he specifically did what was terribly sacrilegious. He created an altar in Dan and in Bethel. So his apostasy, turning away from the God of Israel who put him in power, he abandoned all prospects of a glorious heritage. And so what we see as this chapter opens, there is a man of God that comes out of Judah and comes to Jeroboam as he's worshiping his golden calf. And he cries against the altar and he says, a child is going to be born unto the house of David, and he will break down this altar. He will burn the bones of the priests of the high places upon this altar. And so what we see is that this was a desecration. This was something that was such a violation of God's command as recorded in Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, verse 5. There's supposed to be one temple, one priesthood, one altar. So what we see is that the word of God is fulfilled. It's about 300 years later, and that's how I closed the broadcast yesterday, that there is the king of Judah, Josiah. Let me read verse 16. He spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchre and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed those words, an unnamed prophet, approximately 300 years later. Then he said, what title is that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulcher of the man of God, the one who had given that prophecy, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone, let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. Now we'll learn a little bit more about that as we go through the chapter. But let me read now, returning now to chapter 13 of 1 Kings. We're going to be reading verses 4 and 5. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam, remember the unnamed prophet had just declared these words, he heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against his precious altar, the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar and saying, he gave a command, he said, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, the prophet, it dried up so that he could not pull it in again to him. How's that for a dramatic sign and verification of the accuracy and truth of the word of God? And verse 5 said, the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Talk about immediate fulfillment. It happened right there. That was an amazing and incredible thing. And so let's just pause for a moment. What can we say? Well, God bore witness to the prophet's testimony by signs and wonders. That is pretty dramatic, right? There are two specific miracles we see in these verses. One, there was, King James says, a drying up of the king's hand. Basically, it means he couldn't draw back to him, so he was paralyzed. It was stiffened. And then the rending of the altar. This was a supernatural demonstration of the power of God, and all the ashes were spilled out. And signs, beloved, following, that's what it says in the New Testament for us, preach the word and signs will follow. Signs are always an evidence that a man or woman is not serving God in their own strength. Obviously, this man had power with God because he spoke in the name of the Lord. He was being obedient to God, and God used his servant to display his wonder-working miraculous power. Mark 16 and 17, I'll quote, here's New Testament for, see, we're to learn out of the Word of God. Some are just inclined just maybe really not to read the Old Testament, just focus on the New Testament because we are in a New Testament today. Yes, I know that. But the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. And we need to listen to the lessons that Paul says that were given to us for our instruction and learning. So what does Mark say to all of us in the New Testament? He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. That means that they're wonder-working, miraculous signs done by the power of God. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Now, that does not mean snake handlers. That means the devil, you know, he's a lion. He's a serpent. So it speaks of power over the demonic. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. If you don't do this on purpose, but if there's something that should occur, like Paul, remember he was warming his hands by the fire and a serpent came out and bit him, and they were waiting for him to just fall over. Well, it didn't hurt him. And finally, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Praise God. So God gave these prophetic signs to demonstrate to Jeroboam the validity of the prophetic words that were given. The withering of the king's hand, even that was prophetic. You know, that hand, that right hand, is a symbol of power and authority. And it symbolizes, obviously, what happened, the miserable failure of man's strength and policy when it is opposed to the law and judgment of God. This, you know, you would, all right. He might have been worried about Israel departing to, you know, go back to Jeroboam. But when he had a personal experience like that, that supernatural sign to Jeroboam should have proved a severe warning to him. God was, even then, you see God's mercy, he was seeking to draw Jeroboam back from his evil ways and from his presumptuous sins. That's the mercy of God. His mercy is from everlasting unto everlasting. And also, he was demonstrating his favor and his divine protection upon his servant, the prophet. And this was sudden judgment. God didn't wait. God, who made the body, can suspend the use of it or any of its members when he sees fit. Jeroboam failed to worship God, so he was stricken with a sudden paralysis. How we should thank God that we live in an age of grace. God does not deal with us in supernatural judgment generally when we add our own inventions to his worship. His grace, his mercy is there. But you know, we can't abuse the grace of God. It's not cheap grace, as my husband used to say. That grace costs the life, the blood of the precious Son of God, the Lamb of God. So let's now go back to our text, going back to chapter 13 in 1 Kings 13. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, that's Jeroboam, he's speaking to this unnamed prophet, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me again. I mean, that should have been a real warning to him. And again, the mercy of God. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again and became as it was before. That he should have been so grateful, fell on his knees and worshiped God. But, you know, God, who caused the arm to wither, was able to restore it to its usual form and strength. And that's what he had done, as the prophet prayed in answer to the prophet's intercession. The king's arm was restored to what it was before. And this, beloved, was a sign of divine grace that should have led to repentance. But we can see from this that this prophet was a man of self-denial. Why? Let's go on reading. Verse 7. And the king, well, he was certainly grateful. He wanted to be in good terms with this man of God. This guy had power. So he says, "Oh, come home with me, refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. So, I'll feed you, I'll give you something to drink." Because remember now, this man was fasting and hadn't had any water to drink, expressly by the will of the Lord. That was God's command to him. And the man of God said unto the king, "If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place." For so he was charged by the word of the Lord, saying, "Eat no bread or drink no water, nor turn again by the way, same way that thou camest." So he went another way and returned not by the way that he had come to Bethel. Praise God. Well, my time has flown by, and we're going to have to pick this up on tomorrow's broadcast. Hope you can join me, because if you're not familiar with the storyline, with the plot, you'll need to see what happens next. It's very dramatic. All right. I love you. Yeah, I invite you to share your prayer requests. I personally, it's a very sacred part of the UCM, the Ministry of Prayer, as well as correspondence. And if you'd like an answer, please share your mailing address by mail. And otherwise, if you just send an email, of course, I will confirm receipt and pray for your request. But if you'd like a letter, which has been a source of great comfort to so many, many testimonies coming in, it was just the word they needed to hear, I invite you to write. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,